Well, God is calling us to a time of building here at Evident Life Church, to a time of growing the church family, doing that by seeking out the lost and the lonely and setting them in the family of God. We've talked on and off about that spirit of adoption and bringing people into the family, how God has brought us into His family, and He's called us to be like Him and bring others into His family, to love on them, to care for them, spend time with them, have lunch with them, help them in their times of need, and to grow as the body of Christ together and experience all that He has for us so that we don't have any parts missing. And so this summer, God has called us to a series called A Time to Build, and these are lessons from Nehemiah. Week one, we learned that in building a life, in building a family, and definitely in building a church, that it all begins with prayer. We've got to be people of prayer who are seeking God's heart. See, a big part of prayer is when we pray and we talk to God about something, we submit it to the Lord, is we start getting His heart and His mind about that. And when that happens, now we're thinking properly, and as we step out in it, we're going to step out in God's way and implement it properly because we have God's heart. Week two, we were in chapter two of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah demonstrated the importance of being prepared, making sure that we have all of our ducks in a row, that we're ready to build. So that when we do build, we're going to glorify God in it and build God's way. And again, all of the lessons and the principles and the precepts and everything that we're learning from this book of Nehemiah is applicable to our lives, virtually every area of our life. Your personal life and building your personal life on the foundation of God's principles and on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Building your family that way. If you have a business, building your business God's way, doing it God's way, your friendships, and of course our church family, building God's way. So as we continue now into chapter 3, let's remember that this is a word for every area of our life. Nehemiah 3, we're presented with a powerful picture of how working together accomplishes a whole lot. You see, God has called us to have all hands on deck, for everyone to be involved. Not just a few, not just a pastor and a couple staff people or something like that, but He's called the whole body of Christ, the church family, to work together and to all be involved. Open up to Nehemiah chapter 3. I hope some of you read ahead. Again, that's encouraged here. I know that sometimes, you know, don't read ahead. Well, here, read ahead. Read ahead. Get a good feel for it. And if you did read ahead, you might kind of come out with the impression that Nehemiah 3 may be a bit dry. One Bible commentator refers to Nehemiah 3 as a colorless memorandum of assignments. It reads a lot like the book of 1 Chronicles. Really does. You know, with a long list of names that are difficult to pronounce, information that seems redundant, how does this all fit together, what is this really saying? Just this chronology, names and people and names and people, can seem boring, it can seem hard to get through. But I got to tell you what, there's a lot of incredible truth and a lot of godly principles in Nehemiah 3 that we're going to unpack and look at this morning. The passage of Scripture shows how people working together can accomplish more than if one person just tried to do it all on their own. And again, we talked about it last week. We live in a society where it's kind of like, you know, pull yourself up from your bootstraps, get her done. But we're learning here in Nehemiah that God's ways are a little different. His ways are, say, let's get everybody involved. Let's ask for help. Let's pitch in. Let's do this together. There's a clear biblical principle here in Nehemiah 3 that every person is to be involved in ministry. Every person is to be involved in the body of Christ and in growing the church family. Because everyone has a job to do. And don't get all weirded out about that word job. Oh, a job. Yeah. We all have a job to do. It's not a bad word. It's a three-letter word, okay? Everyone has a job to do. So, Nehemiah 3, we're going to see that there is a call for all hands on deck. I want you to look at this picture. This is a picture of guys answering the call of their captain for all hands on deck in a time of war. Obviously, it's a painting. It's depicting just the intensity of which these naval officers are responding to the call for all hands on deck. All hands on deck is a saying that comes from sailors. It comes from navies and even kids. It even comes from our pirates a little bit. As the captain would call their crew to deck to respond to an emergency or to receive some kind of a command. Look, we need everybody. There's something big happening. Maybe we're being attacked. Maybe we're making plans to attack someone else. We need everybody on deck. We need everybody to hear this. We need all hands on deck. We need everybody involved. This requires everyone. And so the call for all hands on deck goes out. Even the cooks would come topside and help out when there was a call for all hands on deck. It didn't matter what your role was, what your skills were, what your background was. Didn't matter how long you were on the ship, how much experience you had, how strong you were. None of that kind of stuff. It was a call for all hands on deck, so everyone in the ship would come running up to deck and would grab whatever they needed to grab to help take care of business. I believe that every one of us, every person in the church was created to do the work of the kingdom. See, we all have a part to play. And I know we all want to know where we fit. What part is it that we're to play in building the kingdom, in the church? And I know some of us have kind of found a role and found a place where we fit, while others are still struggling with that and trying to figure out, okay, where do I fit? How can I really be used in the church and really be used to help build up the body and to grow the body of Christ and bring others in and do the work of the kingdom? Well, I want you to listen to this guy's story. He says, my first job was working in an orange juice factory, but I got canned because I couldn't concentrate. Yeah, you see where it's going. Then I worked in the woods as a lumberjack, but I just couldn't hack it, so they gave me the axe. After that, I tried to be a tailor, but I just wasn't suited for it. Next, I tried working in a muffler factory, but that was exhausting. I wanted to be a barber, but I just couldn't cut it. I attempted to be a deli worker, but anyway I sliced it, I just couldn't cut the mustard. I studied a long time to become a doctor, but I never had any patience. I became a professional fisherman, but discovered I couldn't live on my net income. I managed to get a good job working for a pool maintenance company, but the work was just too draining. Next, I found being an electrician interesting, but the work was shocking. After many years of trying to find steady work, I finally got a job as a historian. Until I realized that there was really no future in it. Sometimes life can feel this way, though. Sometimes we can feel like we really don't have a place and it's just not working, it's just not fitting as far as how we're going to serve in the body of Christ. I believe what happens is we get in our heads so often and we think, okay, we've got to be just the perfect person for the job. And it's got to feel just right. And we have to have had a lot of training and if we're going to be able to do this. And I just don't have the training. And I just don't feel like I have the skills. And so the enemy starts attacking us and starts putting these little thoughts in our minds that we're not good enough and we're not able and we don't have the time. And all of these things start popping in our head. And we find ourselves year after year just wanting in our hearts to get engaged. Wanting in our hearts to get on the wall and to help build and to be part of it. But these little thoughts in our mind are keeping us from it. And so we have this internal frustration because our hearts say yes and our minds and our bodies have said no, and it just gets to be just a booger to deal with. I know, I've been there in my life. It wasn't until just a few years ago that I really knew and really was confident and then stepped out in the calling and just said, okay, I'm just going to go for it, God. You're saying do it. It seems bigger than what I can do and way past, you know, my experience or anything like that, but I'm going to say yes. So I understand, you know, there's a battle going on. Again, the opposition, as we looked at in Nehemiah 2, doesn't want the people of God building the wall. Doesn't want the people of God all coming together and joining together to be part of building up the kingdom and doing the Lord's work. And so he puts all these thoughts and he throws all these accusations and things at us. But God's called us to be involved. So whose report will you believe? Whose report will we believe? Are we going to believe the report of the enemy and the opposition that says, oh, you're not good enough, you're not qualified enough, there are too many other things that if you get involved in the church stuff and in the kingdom stuff, it's going to mess up these other areas? Are we going to believe the opposition's report, or are we going to believe the report of the Lord? Sometimes I think we don't get involved, though, because we lack vision or purpose. So we need to know why we're called to work, why we're called to join the body of Christ in the work of the kingdom. See, Nehemiah was able to build his team around the central rallying point. He pointed them to the purpose of their work. And that purpose of their work of building the wall back up was to glorify God. Their purpose was to respond to the call of God and the plan of God to build back up Jerusalem in order that He would be glorified. And so Nehemiah made sure, again, that was in chapter 1 and 2, that the people understood why they were building the wall, why they were coming together. They weren't just working on the walls, they were actually worshiping God as they got on the wall and did the work. So see, the purpose of all ministry and really of life is to glorify God. And so as we look at life and we wonder, should we get involved? How do I get involved? And can I really do it? We got to remember that the purpose of us doing it is to glorify God. And if God's called us to do it, and He'll be glorified in it, then we can step out in it confidently. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We're involved, most of you know, in a basketball, or it's actually just a sports league called East Valley Athletes for Christ, and several of you in the room are familiar with that, and got some guys that played on the team that I coached last year in the room. And the underlying saying, the motivating statement that we use in East Valley Athletes for Christ is for His glory. And we really mean it as an organization. It's not just some cute little thing that we say. I mean, we really mean it. We talk about it as we get together time and time again. What does this really mean? We're going to go play for His glory. It means we're going to do our best. We're not going to argue with the refs. We're not going to use bad language. We're not going to play dirty. We're going to play with everything the Lord has given us, and we're going to represent Jesus Christ, you know, at all times in this organization. So we're going to play for His glory. We have been called to grow the family of God now by seeking out the lost and lonely and bringing them in for His glory. For the glory of God. That's the whole purpose of why we're called to grow the family of God. We don't do this great work of growing the family for any other reason other than that God would be glorified. We're motivated and mobilized by the relentless pursuit of God's splendor. And so we gather together and we answer the call for all hands on deck so that God will be glorified. And so let's go back to Nehemiah 3. And we're going to see in Nehemiah 3 a call for all hands on deck. So I have six principles that I want us to quickly go through. I want you to write these down. I want you to think about them. I want you to think about how they apply to your own life, how they apply to your own family, and how they apply to us answering the call as a church to grow the family and go out and bring in the lost and the lonely. The first thing that we learn is in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Nehemiah. The first principle is leaders set the example. If you notice in verse 1 of chapter 3, who is it that was the first one on the wall? The first one that's mentioned who goes to work. It was the high priest. The high priest had no hesitation using his consecrated hands to grab a hammer to fill up and push a wheelbarrow around. He got busy doing the work of God. It's no accident that it was the high priest who led out. Because it's a picture and it's a reminder of that principle that true leaders lead. They really do it. They go ahead and they lead. They roll up their sleeves and they lead by example. Leadership is not sitting back and telling other people to do the dirty work. Leadership is getting out there and actually being in front and doing it first and saying, okay, everyone else come alongside. Come along with me. Let's do this together now. That's how Jesus did it. That's what we see happening here in Nehemiah 3. So leaders set the example, and I, alongside all of the elders here at Evident Life Church, we commit to lead. We commit to getting our hands dirty. We commit to practicing what we preach. We commit to, by God's grace, leading in this building project of seeking out the lost and the lonely. I've let you know that I've been talking with a few different people that are lost right now, that are coming out of major darkness, that aren't part of this church, that I've met just in the course of life. I'm spending hours every single week with one individual. And I've got to tell you what, by God's grace and for His glory, there's a difference. This person's reading their Bible on a regular basis now. They're praying on a regular basis. There is significant change in their life. So I just want to tell you right now that as God has given us this vision to seek out the lost and the lonely, I am committing to lead in that. And it's dirty. It takes up time. It's a commitment. But if it's a call from God to do, then we have to answer that call. So as leaders, as an elder team, we commit to leading in this. We commit our time, our talents, our treasures in answering God's call and in leading the church in the plans that He has for us here at Evident Life Church. And we need everyone to join us. We need everyone to be part of it. And as we continue to look at Nehemiah chapter 3, we're going to see that's how it happened. That's how they got the wall built back then. And that's how the wall is going to be built and the body of Christ and the family of God is going to be built up and grow too. It's because everyone joins in. But number one, the leaders have to set the example. The second principle that we learn here in Nehemiah 3 is that God uses all kinds of people. Nehemiah 3, verse 8, check it out. He uses one guy who's a goldsmith to repair the next section of the wall. And then he used some perfume makers to repair the section next to that. And so on and so forth. See, the Lord didn't use 1,000 carpenters and masons to build the wall. No, He used ordinary people with all different types of skills and backgrounds. He didn't just go to the professionals and say, I'm looking for guys who built walls before, and that's it. Everyone else, get out of the way. You don't know what you're doing. You might hurt somebody. One time, I got to tell this funny story. It's funny now because Ben's okay. One time I was cutting branches, and maybe I've told the story before. I was cutting branches on this horrible tree in my backyard that just grows like a weed, and I got to keep cutting branches off of this thing because it hangs over my pool. It drives me crazy. And if it gets the pool dirty, then we can't do baptisms there, you know, so it's for God's glory. We got to cut those branches off. And so I was cutting branches off that tree with a big tree saw, you know, with those huge teeth on it. I'm cutting. And all of a sudden I cut through and I'm on a ladder and I just kind of drop the saw across my side. And all of a sudden it stops. The saw just stops. I look down and it had stopped embedded in Ben's shoulder. I pulled it straight out. Ben just sat there quiet. And about 3 seconds later, the blood started squirting out of his shoulder, and he just started, roar! So as we all come together with all hands on deck and we're working, we need to be careful that nobody gets hurt. But I still like the fact that Ben comes alongside of me, and he wants to be part of the projects. So, instead of using professionals like masons and carpenters, God used ordinary people who were willing to work on the wall. People from different backgrounds, trades, regions, gathering together to work on the wall. They all worked together. It was a group project. It was truly all hands on deck. The people of God answered the call. Even if they didn't feel strong enough or skilled enough, they answered the call and they came together. Perfume makers were helping build a wall. Come on now. Anyway, I'm not going to say anything else about that. There was a place for everyone and a job for everyone to do. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 16 with me. Ephesians 4:16. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and he says, from Jesus Christ, the whole body, the church, he's saying, from Jesus, the church family, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The church is built up and it grows, grounded in love as each person in the church gets on the wall and does their work. As we join together, as we pray together, as we work together, as we all step out in faith together, the family of God will be built up. This is a biblical principle that we're seeing in Nehemiah 3 and that we're seeing being reminded of in Ephesians 4:16. It's a biblical principle. You could say it's a promise from God. And it's going to be fantastic because as we live out this biblical principle, God's going to be glorified. And Jesus is going to be really happy because he spilled his blood for the lost and the lonely. So as the family of God is built up and grows, see how that all works together? It's beautiful. This is a picture of one of the homes that was being finished from that show, Extreme Home Makeover. My family and I, we love this show. I think one of the reasons we like to watch this show is because it's one of the few things on television that actually shows people helping one another, loving one another, caring for one another. But the other thing that we always see in this show that's so amazing is we see one house being torn down, another one being built up and completely moved into within a week. How does that happen? It happens because of, look at all those blue shirts all around the house. It's because everyone is pitching in. Because people from the community are invited to come in to serve and to help build up the walls of this new house. And because they're all coming together, and I'm sure everyone around that house isn't a professional tradesman. They're just people. Watch the show. They're just people from the community who are serving and who are helping out. And the house gets built in record time. It's amazing. But it's God's people coming together that are going to build the church just the same way. By the time we get through Nehemiah, we're going to see that the walls were built like 50 or 52 days. Incredible. kind of like an extreme home makeover, an extreme wall makeover, extreme city makeover, the extreme Jerusalem makeover, because it was a picture like this. I don't know if they all have blue shirts with yellow things on the back, but that'd been pretty cool. So number one, leaders set the example. Number two that we see is that God uses all kinds of people. The third principle that we see in Nehemiah 3 is that some people will not work. Look at verse 5. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa. But their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. The so-called nobles, they wouldn't humble themselves and submit to somebody else's leadership, so they left their people hanging. You can imagine it. These so-called nobles thought, hey, you know, we're a big deal. We're a big deal. I'm a big deal, man. I'm a big deal. I don't have time. That's a little beneath me. I'll let the people deal with that. I'm a leader, not a worker. What? I'm a noble, not a wall builder. I'm a big deal. They thought themselves too important to join the others in this task, too important to work alongside their brothers and their sisters in doing God's work, helping them in their time of need. Sad to see when there are people that are too busy, or they think they're too big of a deal, or they're just not available to help their brothers and sisters in the church in times of need. When people are hurting, things need to get done. I'm grateful that we don't have that problem here at Evident Life Church. We don't. We are blessed by incredible people who don't leave people hanging, who don't leave people hurting. Let's be encouraged by that, and let's continue to grow in that. Amen? Amen. You know, it says in Jeremiah 48:10, it says, a curse on him who is lax, a curse on him who is lazy in doing the Lord's work. See, not only is there a rebuke, and even as Jeremiah has reminded us, a curse for not engaging in God's work, for slacking off in it, but I got to tell you what, there's also the fact that we miss out on the blessing that comes from being about our Father's business, from being part of His team. As we're studying through Nehemiah, because the people showed up and they gave it their all and they worked hard, God was able to bless them. And the job actually got done in record time. It was amazing. And all the people of God were blessed because of that. There's blessing and there's favor when we are about our Father's business. So number one, leaders set the example. Number two, God uses all kinds of people. Number three, some people will not work. And number four, the fourth principle that we can find here in Nehemiah 3 is that some do more work. Some won't work, but some do more work. A few slacked off. There were others who worked like Energizer bunnies. They kept going and going and going. They finished their own assignment, and then they said, hey, what else can we do? We're finished. We got done early. What else can we do? Is there more? We want to keep going. We want to keep serving. Look at the men of Tekoa. In verse 5, they did their job. But then we see them again in verse 27, back at work. Woo! The men of Binui in verse 18, finishing their job in verse 24, doing another job. This guy named Meshulam, who completed one part of the wall in verse 4, and then repaired another section in verse 31, and there were others. Some that did more work, Energizer bunnies. These men didn't finish their assignment, sit back on a recliner with a glass of lemonade, turn the television on and say, whew, I'm glad I finished early. I get to just kind of kick back and relax the rest of the day. No. They said, you know what? We understand that God's work, if there's more work to be done, we're going to be there. If there's more to accomplish, we want to be part of it because we're blessed in doing the Lord's work. yeah, a glass of lemonade is nice, but it's nothing like being about our Heavenly Father's business. Now that's what we want to be doing. And again, I thank God that we have people here at Evident Life Church who are like these people who do more work, who keep going and going and going. We have some men and women in this church who are always available. If there's a project, if there's anything that needs to be done, they're always there. And that is such a blessing to the whole family of God. It blesses my heart. It challenges me and it encourages me to keep going too. So some didn't work, but some did more work for the glory of God. Verse 5, or let me say the fifth principle that we find here in Nehemiah 3 is that some work with passion and with gusto. It says in verse 20 of Nehemiah 3, Baruch son of Zabai zealously repaired another section. He zealously repaired another section. This is the way to work. I just want to say, this is how we should work. This is about how we should be about our Father's business. Whether it's in our own lives, whether it's in our families and discipling our children, or whether it's being part of a church body. This is about how we should be about our Father's business. With passion, with gusto, zealous, excited about being able to be part of what God is doing. Not looking at it as, oh, it's just work, it's just something I gotta do, I just gotta serve and serve and serve and serve, and I'm just, woe is me, but I'm doing it for the Lord, I'm doing it for God, and there's blessing in it, so I'll keep doing it, and I'll keep doing it, and I'll keep doing it until the day I die. Oh Lord, take me soon. Take me soon. No! This guy Baruch, he zealously was about God's business on that wall. Hard labor. Let me tell you about hard labor. My son's learned about it this past week. He went and he worked for a company called Waste Consolidators. A friend of mine owns that company. And he spent 3 days this past week, 8 hours a day, cleaning out horrible situations of apartments that were just infested with all kinds of stuff and had about a foot or two of garbage from wall to wall in the apartments, kind of like a hoarder was living in these places. He helped empty out 18 of these. Took 6 guys 3 days just to empty out 18 of these apartments. Real labor. This guy, my son, I'm so blessed by him and so encouraged because he actually came back each day happy and excited for getting to do a hard, good day's labor. He did it with other guys. A couple of them were his friends. 3 of them are new friends now. We had called it school because he got to practice his Spanish. It was awesome. He had a great time working hard. How much more should we, the people of God, have a good attitude and have a good time working for the Lord, doing the right thing, saying yes about the things in our own lives? You know, Velvet and I, in raising our kids, Velvet came up with this. She comes up with all the cool stuff as far as parenting goes. But she came up with this great saying that we tell our kids whenever we ask them to do something, whenever they get their new chore chart, and they're all wanting to go, oh, bummer. No. Velvet, in her wisdom, said, no, here's the way it's going to be. And maybe she probably got this from somebody else. But here's what it is. What we tell our kids when it's time to do chores, is we say, hey, remember, you need to do it right away, do it all the way, and do it with a happy heart. Do it right away, do it all the way, and do it with a happy heart. Why? Because we know they're going to have to do it anyway. And they know they're going to have to do the chore anyway. So they might as well just get right on it. And they know that they have to finish it, so they might as well just go all the way with it and get it done right away. And because they're going to have to do it anyway, they might as well do it with a happy heart. I mean, that's how we need to be in life. We can choose how we want to approach any situation. You can wake up in the morning and decide this is going to be a horrible day and I'm just going to drudge my way through it. And it's going to be probably not a great day, and you're just going to feel like, well, at the end of the day, you just barely made it. Or you can wake up in the morning and say, hey, Jesus is on the throne. This is awesome. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. He loves me, and I get to be His hands and feet today. Praise God. Let's go right away, all the way. I got a great attitude. We can choose how we want to approach things. We're going to do God's work anyway because we're people who love the Lord. When the Lord's called us to something, we're going to say yes to it. So when we say yes to it, let's just go right after it. And let's have a good attitude about it. And let's do it for the glory of God. The final principle we learn from chapter 3 is that some work together as families. Now, I think that's really cool. That's right up my alley. You're reading throughout chapter 3, you're going to see families coming together, fathers with their sons or with their daughters or others. And they're working on different sections. A lot of time it would be the section of wall right outside of their house, right across the street from their house. Or a few times they talk about how a family went to the other side of Jerusalem and they worked together. Working as families. Look, as we go about life, we got to get rid of this whole compartmentalization thing. You know, this is some Western crazy kind of thought. How, oh, we got work, and we got family, and we got God, you know, and we got friends, and then we got me time. What is up with that? And so we have to try to manage, how much me time do I get? I didn't get enough me time, so I got to blow off my church family and get me more me time. Or, you know what, I got to work really hard, and so my family doesn't get much of my time. Or this or that, I got to go do work at the church, and so see a family, I got to go do God's work. It blessed my heart when I witnessed during our Operation Harvest, as we were going around to the homes here in our neighborhood, I witnessed families going out together, generations going side by side together. I think that's important. I think it's an incredible opportunity for discipleship to happen when we're together. Parents, you want to disciple your kids, include them in on as much of your life as possible. Be the real deal. Glorify God in all you do because your kids are watching. But include them in on as much of your life as you can. Especially the God stuff. Yeah, they may need to stand aside a little bit because you've got a saw in your hand and you don't want them to get hurt. And yeah, there's going to be situations like some people I'm ministering to right now where I'm not going to bring my children into some of those environments and discussions. But whenever we can, let's work together as families and let's work together as the church family. Is your family building the wall in your neighborhood? You can be. You can do it together. Look, this church family has always been a family that works together. And because we work together, we accomplish much. Someone once said of Evident Life Church, they told me, you know what, you guys are outperforming your resources. You are outperforming your resources there at Evident Life Church. And I say, yes, we are. By God's grace, because of His favor, we are. But also because we're working together. Remember in the early days at the library, everyone would come alongside each other. We'd set up all the chairs. We'd set up all this equipment that we see up here. And remember, we had the big, heavy 100-pound speakers. And Mark Benepinto would put them on his head. And it was, I don't know how he did that. But we'd set up everything. And everyone would help. And we'd have it up in no time. We'd have it down in no time. All hands on deck. Everyone working together. When we built out this facility, all the people that came alongside, we were tearing down walls, building up walls, drywalling, doing electrical work, building the stage, all the stuff that needed to take place. Everybody just jumped in, and within a month or so, boom, we had the whole place renovated, done, open for business, for the glory of God. All hands were on deck. The impact that we've had in Africa has been huge because we've gotten together as a church family. Yes, everyone can't go to Africa each year, but we get the vision together, and we are funding it together. We've opened up two churches, helped open and plant two churches in Africa. We've helped build a Christian school up to 650 students now. Hundreds of people coming to Christ on an annual basis because of our involvement in the ministry over there. It's because all hands are on deck. It's because there's not just one person or two people in the church that are sowing into that. It's because we're doing it together as the body of Christ. Our Stand for Life here in Arizona, partnering with the CPC. Many, many lives have been saved because all hands are on deck in this church family, and we're getting behind that together. We're outperforming our resources. We're doing more than we should be able to do as a relatively young church. Our involvement in praying in schools, in our partnership with 1111, has been huge. Still testimonies coming out of that as we're involved in that. 365 days of prayer in East Valley House of Prayer. Prayer meeting every day of the year going on in our prayer room. That's incredible from a smaller church to be able to have that kind of ministry that's blessing our community and blessing our state. Look at the activity that's going on right here in Gilbert Town Square. When we moved in here, this place was a ghost town. There was nobody. Businesses were going out. There was almost nothing going on here. 2 years later, the place is hopping. Again, it's a destination point. Why? Because the people of God come here on a regular basis. Because there's prayer happening every day of the year in the prayer room. Because the presence of God is here and it's affecting even the businesses that are under us and around us here in Gilbert Town Square. We're outperforming our resources because of the grace of God and because all hands are on deck. Now we're called to work together in growing the church family by intentionally seeking out the lost and the lonely, and every one of us has a part to play in that. And we need to have all hands on deck. I want to encourage you to visit the welcome counter at the end of the service before you walk out. There are about 6 or 7 pieces of paper on the welcome counter. And each one is a different opportunity for you to get involved here at Evident Life Church to help grow the family. To help take a place on the wall. To help be on the deck with others, serving and growing. If you put your name down there, your email address, the person in charge of that area is just going to contact you, kind of talk to you about it, answer any questions that you have. You're not making a 1 year or lifetime commitment to anything. You're just saying, yeah, I'm interested in seeing how I might be able to help in that area. Kind of work on that part of the wall. So that we're able to bring in others. And we're able to grow. Ultimately, if we all work together, God is going to be glorified. And His family is going to grow. I want to just quote the words of this short folk song. It's called Our Captain Calls. Our captain calls all hands to sail tomorrow. Leaves many a fair, pretty girl in grief and sorrow. What makes you go abroad fighting for strangers when you could stop at home free from all dangers? Family here at Evident Life Church chooses to answer our captain's call and go out. To fight for strangers. To fight for the lonely and the lost. To bring them into the family of God. And we choose to build God's way with all hands on deck. Amen? It's a way to do it. If we do it God's way, it's going to be good. It's going to be really good. Just want to make sure what you heard in the message today was not condemnation. Not a call just to get really busy, like a Martha. That's not the message of this morning. The message is for us to come together as the body of Christ and be about our Father's business. Remember where it all starts in chapter 1, from that place of prayer, from that place of intimacy with our Heavenly Father. We can never forget that. And so we're going to remember that right now as we share together as the family in communion.